talk down to you. We talk up to you. We talk in such a way that enriches you, educates you, and shares with you literally life-changing information. And you want that to keep on going. You know, the number to call, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. I spoke with a doctor yesterday who wanted to be on the show, and we spoke. And I said, you know, we don't want to only talk about the problem. At the end of every show, my personal mandate, Carol's personal mandate, is at the end of every show you listen to, that you have been enriched, that we have given you something that makes you, your family, your community healthier. And this book is a piece of that, The Chronic Cough Enigma. And just like we said in the beginning, not the most exciting title. But look at this, The Path to a Cure. Now that's very exciting. You're not going to get that promise anywhere. By Dr. Jamie Kaufman, who literally is speaking at an ear, nose, and throat conference, and she went through her slides to share the information with us. The number to call, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Carol, what do you think? Shall we go back? I need to hear more.
Okay. Sounds great to me. Good time. So call us, 212-209-2950, and get the book for yourself.
So in trying to protect us from getting infections, what happened instead is they gave us basically everything we drink that's bottled, which is a lot of us drinking a lot of things, or at least used to be, so acidic that when you have those lobsters living in your throat or your esophagus, they're activated to the max. And that's how come we got so much reflux disease.
And it's also taking place in children, is it not?
Oh, it's terrible. Yes, of course it's happening.
It used to be an older, heavy person.
See, you know, I mean,
overindulging.
Baby food, same thing. You know, I mean, banana is a very non-acidic fruit.
And generally,
you know, when you test the baby food, it's all very acidic as well. Same thing, killing bacteria as if it was the only concern.
And it's, but so we're in the baby food, it's not even on the label.
Well, it's hidden. It's not. It's all organic because someone has decided it's okay to add ascorbic acid and call it organic, but it's not okay.
One thing that surprised me, one of the pages in your book, you talk about foods that are okay to eat and drinks that are okay to drink, and you included chamomile tea, but that's the only herbal tea.
A lot of the herbals, first of all, are mixtures. We know that mints, for example, make the stomach valves relax. Some of the ones that are citrified, the zingers and all that, we know they actually cause reflux. So we've simply taken chamomile because we know it to be pretty good for the refluxer.
What do you think?
Chamomile tea is pretty good.
What do you think? I want to get back to my question because I'm seeing it with newborns. I'm seeing it with young people. I'm seeing reflux disease in so many young people. Why do you think they are being so adversely affected by this?
Well, no one can say for sure why. You know, I mean, for example, we know that most infants will have some reflux. We know that, you know, colicky babies are reflux babies. We know, by the way, digression, I'm here at a medical convention, and one of my friends is a well-known pediatric person, and she said to me, you know, it's amazing, all these newborns are coming in with a diagnosis of asthma. And she says, of course, they don't have asthma, they're refluxing. So it's not clear. Mother's breast milk is safe, and most formulas are safe, but as soon as you start with solid food of any kind, I mean, all the well-known brands, I don't want to, you know, bash them individually, but they're all just acid-loaded, and it seems to me it's the crucial variable. Since every child has a little bit of reflux, imagine those lobsters coming to reside, say, in the throat or in the lung, whatever, and then an acid diet. By the way, this brings me to a point. One of the groups that are hard to treat are college students, students in general, young people who are well-behaved six nights a week, and on Saturday night they go out and they drink too much, and on the way home they stop and they get a couple of burgers and some fries, and they reflux all night. Mm-hmm. So you say, well, if they only reflux all night, why don't they, one night, why don't they get better? And it gets back to this question of tissue-bound pepsin. So they reflux on Saturday night, they get pepsin all over everything, the lobsters are clinging to every surface, and then they get up in the morning and they have orange juice, and then they go to the gym and they have Gatorade, and then they drink four or five diet sodas over the course of the day, and then they have, and so you can imagine basically loading yourself up with lobsters once a week and then having enough acid to make those lobsters very, very happy and munch away. So I think that it's the fact that there's acid in baby food. And, you know, my friends who have small children, my grandchildren, I mean, a huge amount of energy and special preparation of foods to avoid these kinds of problems. And by the way, there are other food additives that aren't so good either.
We were also discussing with Jeffrey Smith on the GMOs in infant formulas.
We have a big problem.
Yes.
I'm writing a book now. I don't know what the title of the book's going to be, but the subtitle is The Food Industry Made Us Sick, and the Healthcare Industry Made Us Poor. And we've come to a point but I'll tell you something,
and
there's hope. First of all, who would have thought the FDA would have taken trans fats off the market? When Mayor Bloomberg in New York tried to do it, there was a big uproar about, you know, we shouldn't be messing with people's desire to make themselves sick. But the reality is that the FDA did take trans fats off. And you know very well, it wasn't fast food companies that were going after this. It was a grassroots movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I live in New York. You know, I'm on a pretty restricted diet in many ways. I happen to be, and that's another story, on a gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free diet. And I don't think of it as a restricted diet, by the way. I tell my friends I'm the queen. I just eat the good stuff. So I do think that there's a grassroots movement, particularly the parents of small children, who feel very strongly that the cause of many of these diseases is dietary and in many cases related to food additives. And I don't think there's any getting around it.
I don't think so either, and I don't think that we have kind of tiptoed around the issue with the big elephant in the room, and I think the apologies are over. And that we have to, as health caregivers, we have no choice but to face the issue. There is a new movie that just came out called Fed Up. It's with Mark Hyman, Dr. Lustig, and Gary Tabor, and Michael Pollan, all talking about the food industry and how it's getting us sick. And when you're finished...
Well, which one of our diseases isn't related? You know, in doing this book that I started, my research assistant, I mean, diabetes is up 700%. Obesity, I mean, look at all the numbers. You know, these trends is the wrong word. These horrendous diseases that afflict the majority of our population all basically follow per capita soft drink consumption and fast food. You watch those two curves, and it looks like the curves of the diseases. And so I think we must deal with it. Now, that said, the idea that people can take control. So that's, you know, and then that's when I, you know, this whole idea of writing for a sophisticated public. Now, sophisticated doesn't mean that, you know, you went to graduate school. Sophisticated means that you're willing to take the time to try to understand and then to make a, you know, plan of action which is going to have a significant impact. And I think that the question you asked about babies is like really on a lot of people's minds. And so when I have a young person who happens to be the patient herself or himself that's, you know, in the 20s with the babies at home, I say to them, you are about to become the tip of a great iceberg that's going to affect your friends and your friends' children and your families and how you think about food. I mean, when I was little, my mother made dinner every single night. The chickens came from a local farm. We got corn when it came in July or August. It didn't come from some foreign country or Florida. It wasn't grown with GMOs. I remember having an earache, and a terrible earache. And the doctor came about 5 o'clock, and I got a shot of penicillin. I remember feeling relief within about 30 minutes. That was when doctors made house calls, not business plans. So what's happened in our lifetimes, and this needs to be addressed as well, is health has been treated as a commodity. It never should have been treated as a commodity. You know, there is a tremendous inelasticity of demand. If you need an operation, it's $2,000. Oh, I have that. It's $250,000. I don't have that. Will you take my house? And so what's happened is corporate medicine has bred a tremendous pressure for procedures and drugs and getting them so that they can be reimbursed. The idea that obesity should be treated with surgery, to my way of thinking, is idiotic.
It is amazing to watch this and see the people lined up and see the problems that they go through afterwards and their digestive problems and the nutrient deficiencies that they go through.
Yep.
And the way they feel and the depression they experience. And then also the fact on some level they get control back of their life on some level.
It really is interesting because, you know, going back to the chronic cough, a young woman came to see me who was an active woman in a very, very hardworking, busy firm. Everyone was leaving late, eating late, drinking too much, and so on. She came to me with bad lungs, sent by a lung doctor. And she was not overweight. I mean, she was maybe 30 or 40 pounds overweight. Almost 1 year to the day after I first saw her, we graduated her. Graduation means healthy, lungs clear, no reflux, eating well. By the way, looked like a professional athlete. She got herself, you know, slimmed down and toned up. And graduated. Graduated to what? A long, healthy life. You know, I'll tell you an anecdote about me. I was looking in the mirror in August, and I looked and I saw that skin that you see, you know, the sort of old lady crinkly stuff that you get. And it horrified me. I went like, when did that happen? And then I thought to myself, I'm going to be 80 in 15 years. Meanwhile, about 2 months later, I was visiting my doctor, and I have had a terrible psoriasis, bad psoriasis. Didn't get better with Embril, the shots in the legs and all that kind of thing. And so she said to me, go on a gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free diet. And I did. And the psoriasis has gone away. And I'm not saying everyone should do that, and I'm certainly not recommending it. But it's very interesting to me that when I began to face the prospect of my own mortality, which, of course, we all face, I began to understand that there was no other person who could take charge of this except me. There was no other way.
Well, we're back. And this conversation is everything I promised you. This was not an idle promise. Dr. Jamie Kaufman has a brilliance that has to do with simplicity of observation. But more than that, she has a passion to teach, and she wants to teach you. She's been rejected by the medical society. Why? Because she is looking at more than one specialty and saying that the individual specialties are making the wrong diagnosis, and that to be able to make the correct diagnosis, you have to look in more than one area. You know, so this is Dr. Jamie Kaufman, the chronic cough enigma, the path to a cure. When I saw those words, the path to a cure, I said, I got to read this book. Dr. Jamie Kaufman. It's a $90 donation to WBAI, and you can donate at any level you choose. You know, WBAI is so special. It's so special. It's such a special place to be, to share, to learn. You know, we all know of the turmoil. You'd have to be deaf not to. And we all know of the turmoil, but at the same time, within all of that, have you noticed the quality of the shows that you're hearing? The producers are jewels. And in the turmoil, in everything, what are they doing? They're just working as hard as they can to bring the highest quality that they can to you. And they're doing it for multiple reasons. They're doing it because of their passion to share, to grow, to educate, to entertain. And WBAI is the forum that allows this. Where would we go without WBAI? Where would you hear this? Think about it. You're not going to hear it on NPR. NPR isn't talking about GMOs. They're not talking about them. And if they are, it's very watered down. Why? Monsanto's their sponsor. Who's our sponsor? That's you. The number to call is 212-209-2950. It's interesting because in my life I won't bargain, I won't beg, I won't anything. But when it comes to WBAI, I'm here giving everything I've got. Why? Because it's worth it. So please pledge at any level you can. I would love a $1,000 challenge grant. I would love a $1,000 grant. I deserve it. We deserve it. You deserve it to support WBAI. Or I would love whatever you can give, a $50 membership, whatever you can give to show how much you appreciate the work we give, the information we share, and how it enriches your life. Every single day, people are changing their habits. Why? Because of the information we're sharing. The number to call, and call it right now. Don't make me beg. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Call now. Get the book for $90, but more than that, show your support for this program, show your support for WBAI, show how much you love it, and show the fact that what would you do without WBAI? Where would we go? What would we listen to? Where would we get this information? You don't have to agree with everything. We don't intend for you to agree with everything, but we intend for you to have enough information to make your own decisions to enrich your life. The number to call, 212-209-2950. I think I'm getting a little emotional, Carol. 212?
I think so.
209?
I'm thinking about
2950.
I really love about WBAI is the website, WBAI.org, and you can also pledge right from there if you'd like. But I have I don't know if you have, Corinne, but I have many times gone to the archives for programming. I can't particularly listen at a time of day I want, but the programming is still there for me if I go there. And then when I hear a program like this, some of the information Dr. Kaufman's sharing, I could tell my friends and my family, please go to WBAI.org and listen to the archive program. I think this is a treasure. This is something that people were saying radio is going to be obsolete, and I don't think so. We've just ramped it up a notch and made it more and more and more available. I'd also like to bring up one little thing, and I don't think it's readily apparent. When Dr. Kaufman says the path to a cure, You know, the word cure is almost never used in our organized medicine association. It's like verboten. You don't go to your doctor to cure your diabetes. You don't go to your doctor to cure your hypertension. You don't go to the doctor to cure your sleep apnea. What you're getting is sort of crutches to keep you in the medical system, keep you using the methods that they're offering. One of the things she says in the book is it just boggles the mind that maybe we don't need all these doctors. Maybe we are overdiagnosing and we're over-treating and we're overdoing things, but what we're really never doing in medicine is giving people the cure. And she's like raising a red flag here and saying, hey, people, it is possible. You can have a cure. And you can take matters into your hands and affect a cure. This is like almost never said. We're going on all these runs and walks and things, a cure for this and a cure for that. But are we getting cures?
No, what are you getting? You're getting donations to drug companies. That's where the money's going. Donations to drug companies. This walk, that walk, this, that, that. And people are seeking. They're seeking. And they're not. The medical profession, the medical professionals are not giving. They're not able to see past their own rhetoric and attempt in any way to help you make your life change and change your prospect or your present disease. The number to call, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. For $90, you'll get the book, The Chronic Cough Enigma, The Path to a Cure. That's the part I love. You too. You got it too, Carol. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jamie Kaufman. And you know what else? I want to challenge you within that to take this book, read it. Take this book to your community center, to your family, and make a book club out of it. Make an information out of it so you can share with your church, with your community, with the people around you this information. And this will change their life. The number to call, 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. $90 for the book. Any amount to acknowledge the fact of the work that we do, the caring we put into this show, the support that WBAI needs. $1,000 or $2,000 to show that, one, you support WBAI, you support this program, and you're there for us as we are there for you. You know, the producers don't get paid. They work. I know they work. And it is wonderful for you to show your appreciation. So, Carol, what do you think? I want to hear the end. Dr. Kaufman talks about WBAI at the end, and she talks about why this program per se is so important. I want to hear the end. I need you to call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Help me out. Let me play the rest. She's brilliant. Carol?
And share the archives with your friends and family. And WBAI.org, you can go to the website as well and pledge on the website. But share this program with everybody that you know that it might pertain to. And ask them, too, to help keep this programming alive.
Yes, have them call in and become a BAI buddy. What's $10 a month? What's $20 a month? You won't even notice it, but we do. And it's like the Chinese saying, the ancient saying, how do you move a mountain? One teaspoon at a time. How do you support WBAI? One person at a time. How do you make social change? One person at a time. Okay, we're going back to the show. 212, let me do this. Please keep calling. I see you're calling. Please. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. This is
for the chronic cough enigma, the path to a cure. By Dr. Jamie Kaufman.
212-209-2950.
And so that you have to add up and start looking at your own addictions. You know, are you really addicted to those two glasses of wine? Because those two glasses of wine let you turn off the noise of a really, you know, pounding day. Are you addicted to sweets? You know, and you got to have them every night. Are you addicted to caffeine? And you can't get up without having, you know, a half ton of it, and then you need sleeping pills to bring you off it, to go to sleep. So you have to begin to examine how we've evolved into an unhealthy society, and all of this has to do and brings back around to the question of asthma and chronic cough. So I'm going to tell you something that I think your listeners will think is rather interesting. So in my office are four women. Not everyone is overweight, but some are, some aren't. Two have had children who had asthma, and they were bringing things into the office that were not okay. I said no, and I'd be throwing them away. So I just dumped your ginger ale. So anyway, in January, I announced proudly to my staff that year-end bonuses, which I'm under no obligation to give, but that I give generously at the end of the year, that year-end bonuses would be tied to how close they were to their ideal weight by the chart, to the cholesterol, triglycerides, and to the reflux finding score when I examine for reflux.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, not only is my staff better, but the child whose asthma was putting him in the hospital stopped getting nighttime, bedtime snacks, and the asthma has gone away on the 7-year-old.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, you know, this is an example of how an employer can influence the health and health outcomes. And my staff, by the way, they're the ones who wanted to have a big conversation about GMOs. And so they've gotten very sophisticated in less than 6 months, and it's really a wonderful thing to see.
It's quite gratifying when you see that you can.
Everybody's losing weight, and everybody needed to. By the way, a healthy diet you lose weight.
Pardon?
A healthy diet you lose weight if you're overweight.
Every time. No.
You don't have to go for something special. You don't have to do for anything crash.
Now, you have a symptom index that when you go through these symptoms, the chronic cough index, the reflex symptom index, RSI, the glottal closure index. You have this index, and from this index, by answering these questions, you can very closely diagnose yourself. Can you explain that a little bit, please? You know, I'm just going to say one thing. I love this book. In that it is so empowering. You have shifted it all back to us. This is a very empowering book. And even with people who don't have the obvious symptoms of reflux, particularly with those people, this is a very important book. But tell us about this. Oh, it really is. You know, I
think there's also, you know, it's very important to realize that this is going to be a coming trend. It's very interesting to watch how drug companies used to spend all their time and money going to doctors and taking them out to dinners and trying to educate them. They call them drug reps. Okay, we've not let a drug rep in my office, let alone have a conversation with them, now for 20-something years.
Oh, really?
But it's interesting how the drug companies started going around the doctors. Okay, well, who's advertising on TV? Let's see, Viagra, Cialis, and the Embril, and all of these drugs, Prilosec. Mm-hmm. I mean, half the ads on television. So what they're doing is directly marketing to people to then have them go and demand of their doctor to give them those pills. What I'm doing is a little different. What I'm doing is saying, okay, what you really must have first before you have anything else is an accurate diagnosis. And since your asthma may not be asthma, here are some tools with which you can actually self-assess. Now, you say, well, gosh, isn't that a dangerous thing? No. The doctor's not getting it. They're already seeing a doctor. The doctor's not had it right, or they wouldn't still be coughing. They wouldn't still be wheezing. They wouldn't still be doing any of that stuff.
So and they wouldn't be buying your book.
Adding a little ammunition. It's just a little more ammunition for the patient.
And those questionnaires are things that you use regularly in your practice, are they
Absolutely.
Not?
Absolutely. Yes, one of the chiefs at the Mayo Clinic said, can we use the Kaufman Chronic Cough Index? And by the way, for people who are looking to find me, the easiest thing you can do is actually just Google dropping acid. Timothy Leary doesn't even come up anymore. So Google dropping acid. I mean, I've got websites and I've got all this stuff. But yeah, the Chronic Cough Enigma is in, you know, both of these books, by the way, are Barnes & Noble's. Barnes & Noble's understands these are both significant health books. And they've been very, very supportive, and so I recommend strongly Barnes & Noble's, and of course you can always buy them online.
I want to read some of the varied symptoms that we're talking about. You know, we all know of regurgitation, but how about excessive dental caries? We all know, sometimes we know that chest pain can be some form of reflux, but we don't know that directly. Shortness of breath, choking episodes, hoarseness in the throat, vocal fatigue where our throat just gets tired and we can't really talk and our voice is breaking, chronic throat clearing. Oh, it's just allergies. Just allergies. Mm-hmm. Excessive throat. No. Go on. Please, take that one.
Well, I think it's very interesting because, you know, I remember 25 years ago, I was giving a course at one of our national meetings on reflux, and someone asked me about the relationship between sinusitis and allergies and reflux, and I said, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, now, 25 years later, I am sure about that. The angriest group of patients, among the angriest groups of patients who come to see me, are people who have had multiple sinus surgeries and still have the same symptoms. What we found now, and it's really quite interesting, is if you look at people who reflux at night, and you look up into the nose, way up top, it's called the nasopharynx, behind where the little thing hangs down and above that, we see findings in the nose, and those findings look like cobblestones. And that cobblestoning can be so thick, those pavers, that they start to interfere with the sinus openings and the eustachian tubes, so you see ear symptoms and nose symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the symptoms, there are post-nasal drip is number one symptom of reflux. And by the way, when you see people who have chronic throat clearing, and they talk about post-nasal drip, it's not post-nasal. They have nasal drip, but they also manufacture that mucus locally in the throat. And you see where it comes from. It's dripping on the vocal cords. Those are the ones who make a big racket trying to clear their throat and where their voice is off until they can get the glob moved. We're talking sinusitis that isn't sinusitis, allergies that aren't allergy, and an asthma that is an asthma, shortness of breath in a young person, particularly if it comes on over a period of weeks. These are all, and by the way, there's one other thing that's very interesting. The more you reflux, the more infections you get, respiratory infections, and the more respiratory infections are the worse your reflux. And so the body only has one set of defenses of the lining membranes that interface with the outside world. And so everything assaults them, drying during the winter when the heat goes on and there's no humidity. And allergies can be a mitigating factor as well. All of these things add up. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people have asthma and have allergies. A lot of people have allergies These things are all very much interrelated in some people. It's not just one thing or the other. But that said, number one on the hit parade is silent reflux.
And very interesting, because with chronic bronchitis, chronic sinusitis, we're finding a lot of reflux as a cause, but generally we don't think of bronchitis when we think of reflux.
I absolutely do. I have to tell you a story. I have a woman who's a 95-year-old. She runs her own store. She is a completely independent, bright, able, obviously much younger, acting, living woman. She came to me originally with chronic cough, and I've managed her for a couple of years. And she came to me in January with a, and by the way, you don't need any tests. A bronchitic cough is a wet cough. You hear it and you hear a rattle. One of my patients called it a duck call cough. When you bring up that stuff in the morning. So that's the diagnosis. One cough and you can hear bronchitis. So she came in with bronchitis, and I know what was happening. She was going out to dinner and drinking more wine, and I really had to read her the riot act. It took us 3 months. And by the way, we looked at her throat and said, yeah, your reflux is worse. It took us 3 months to get her bronchitis gone and got her back on the wagon, if you will. And so that's the kind of thing where you might save someone's life, because bad lungs and someone in their 90s is pneumonia and can lead to death.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me back to this whole question, by the way, of nighttime snacks. You know, so many people in nursing homes die of community-acquired pneumonias. What's that? Community-acquired. We didn't get any bacteria to grow in the cultures. Well, here's what I think happened. So you get ginger ale and a chocolate pudding before they go to bed, and that's what ends up in their lungs at 2 o'clock in the morning. They die of ginger ale, chocolate pudding pneumonia.
Mm.
So we should be giving people in nursing homes late night snacks before bed. No children.
That would be a very interesting to really look into, because they're not getting good food very often. In nursing homes. And
well, nutritional care is going to be, I believe, the next great public health, and it really deserves to be a public health issue for all of us. I think it's going to resonate as a grassroots movement, and you're going to start to see some political traction. One of the things we want to do is get pH labeling or acid labeling on all bottles and cans, and obviously, I've already contacted the FDA, and obviously they're resistant to even having a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Now, could you see many times when you go to your doctor and we look at reflux or any type of gastric indigestion, what we're dealing with or what they say we're dealing with is a chronic disease. And then...
Not true.
Exactly. Could you explain that to us? Because you have a diet here, and you have four phases of it, and you very directly explain that you can heal people.
Here, let me first give, you know, like the 25 words or less. Okay, so you have asthma, and you've listened to this show, and you're thinking, maybe it's reflux. Okay, let's see you do a two-week detox. This is it. No eating or drinking within 4 hours of bed, and that means no lying on the sofa either. Nothing out of a bottle or can except water, and preferably alkaline water with a pH greater than 8, which is non-acid, the opposite of acid water. No alcohol, okay? Only fruits you can have, melons and bananas. The only meat you can have is chicken or fish or shellfish. All the vegetables are good, but no onion, garlic, tomatoes, or pepper. Anything that says the word pepper on it, no hot pepper, green pepper, red pepper, cracked pepper. And all the grains are pretty good. And the breads and the rice and the quinoa, all the, egg whites only, no yolks. So if you can do that for 2 weeks, and you notice a big, big change, then you really, in 2 weeks, it's only 2 weeks. Anyone can, it's the detox everyone should do almost, there's a therapeutic trial. Now, while I've said that everyone will get well with that, it's not true. A lot of patients come to me, they said, I bought your book, I've been on the diet, and you know, for whatever, 2 weeks or 2 months, and I'm still not doing well. It is true that if you reflux long enough, your whole system is basically out of whack. You are going to need some drugs, but it's not always acid suppressive drugs, and it's certainly not always purple pills. But there are people who need help jump-starting the system. Imagine that the esophagus is a lazy horse, and it's race time. So you're going to have to put a jockey with a whip on that horse to get it moving again. That said, reflux is a vicious spiral going downward till the whole function of the whole system is really not very good. But once it is restored, for the vast majority of people, you can get normal digestive health again.
So you're saying that for the vast majority of people, this is a curable disease?
Yes, and I'm also saying we are what we eat, and there's nothing that could be more important today.
Very interesting, very interesting. So when it comes down to the diet, you named the introductory diet. Now, you're saying it's okay grains.
Everybody's different. You know, one of the biggest problems is if you eat everything on food, I mean, you'd end up eating nothing. I mean, we got mercury in fish, and we got gluten. So the answer is that I have not. If you look on my website, you'll see, Dr. Kaufman's reflux-friendly, gluten-free diet. So, this is a big push now. I mean, the book Wheat Belly got a lot of attention, and there's been a lot of attention to processing of many kinds of foods. For example, nuts are a big trigger food, and some of it has to do more with the chemicals and the processing, the actual nuts themselves.
Really?
So, that, by the way, which is an important point to make, when someone says, you know, I have a real problem with the food, and you look around and look and see all the chemicals in it, it may be the additives and not the food itself.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's the last thing we haven't talked about are trigger foods. Trigger foods are individual. One of the things that makes reflux difficult to treat, if there is one other variable, is, and when I say this, you're both going to go, duh. Everybody's different. When my reflux was at its height, I could not touch chocolate, white wine, nuts, onions, green peppers, no problem with red peppers, and cucumbers. Who would have thunk a cucumber? How big a cucumber seems.
What's more alkaline than cucumber?
So yeah. So the truth be known, you asked me about the phases of a diet. So after you come off detox, you don't head straight for pepperoni pizza at midnight and a pitcher of beer. What do? You say okay, and I do the same thing with my patients. I ask them, what do you miss most? And they say, chocolate. I say, sorry, you can't have chocolate yet. Well, I'd like to have a glass of wine a couple of nights a week. Okay, you can have a glass of wine. But understand, it's a trigger food for about 30% of people. It doesn't matter even if you have a little bit. And it's one glass, not three. And it's at 6:30, not 9:30. Don't add insult to injury. Where you have the fatty meal, and you have the wine, and you have a dessert, and then and you overeat, and it's late. And so what I let people do is to start to build back. And when they build back, you'll find that most people can have pretty much anything except their key trigger foods. And if they are individual, when a patient comes to me, even a sophisticated patient, one of the metaphors that I share with them, when they say, how long is this going to take? I say, well, it probably will take you a year. Take a year. Why? Well, if you buy a boat, the first three times you dock your boat, if you smash up neither the boat nor the dock, it doesn't make you a good sailor. And so what comes is I come as the captain of the ship temporarily, and then they must take the helm over by themselves. And in doing so, they must find the way that gives them not only safety but pleasure. And so this is a life, and for the smart people, it's the lifelong learning. In other words, I consider myself a lifelong learner, and the more I go, the older I get, I guess I should say, the more I go, the more carefully I consider what it is that I put in my mouth.
And to me, I find it also very joyous, choosing the
Absolutely.
Best of the best.
Absolutely.
Not, I don't accept average. I want the best of the best for myself, for my family, for my friends. You know, it's you talk about trigger foods. Well, my trigger foods, when I go to Europe, I eat those same trigger foods and there's no trigger. So what we're talking about is exactly what you said, are additives. And the additives are what are creating my personal problems, not the food in and of itself.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. I think it's important. But, you know, we do have to face up to one more reality, and it's a difficult one. And it has to be dealt with, in my opinion, at a federal level, which has to do with how do we subsidize food. It is much more expensive to eat healthy. For the price that I paid for my organic free-range chicken, a mother of two got a bucket of fried chicken with two sides and a bunch of biscuits. And so it is of concern that it is more expensive to eat healthy, and it is a political issue, and it shall continue to be one. And I know that there are some programs in New York where they've studied if they subsidize fresh foods for people who don't have much money, that they will indeed make their diet healthier.
Well, there is something else, though. There, I lived in Central America. People were very poor. I was brought up, we were, you know, very poor right after the war and struggling, an immigrant family. And we had foods that they're now considering as gourmet foods, you know. Exactly. You go to the fancy restaurants and you get the peas and the egg. Well, my grandmother made that for us. We had beans once, twice, sometimes three times a week. We had little pieces of meat that was boiled down, and the whole family ate on it. But what are we doing now? Those are called bone broths, and they protect our joints and our bones. And that's one of Edgar Cayce's way to heal the intestinal lining with aspic, with gelatin, with bone broths. So
yeah, it's very interesting. You know, people talk a lot about the Mediterranean diet, and I always laugh because the real difference is, you know, olive oil is great. I stopped eating butter, and I use olive oil, even for fancy dishes like a lobster. I'll put a little olive oil, a little salt in it, because I like salty on my lobster. But the reality is it's about portion control. When Europeans come visit, and we talk about this, a girlfriend of mine who lives in London said, yeah, I went to dinner last night, and the man ate a steak suitable for a family of six.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you get ice cream in France, you get like a little shiny dish with a teaspoon and a tiny little spoon.
Exactly.
You get three scoops.
And when I remember growing up, and there was one chicken, and there were five adults and four kids, and the chicken was cut up. The leg was in two pieces. The thigh was cut up. Everybody got some. There was big salads and some broccoli. So in actuality, we don't have to have it expensive to eat well.
Yeah,
you know, eating a big bag of potato chips and baking potatoes or sweet potatoes, what costs more? Without a doubt, you know, the potato chips.
You're right, because the junk food, empty calories, I mean, who eats a whole bag? I mean, you know, one of the things people need to do, by
many
the way, is clean out their house. If you're, if you like ice cream, well, after you go through induction and you get things under control, then, you know, go out and get a little ice cream cone. Don't keep it, you know,
a pint of
ice cream is not a snack. Yeah, portion control is huge.
Well,
huge.
Exactly. We got an ice cream cone the other day, and it was so big that we had to get a cup because the child would have a stomach ache to eat that much ice cream. And what did they do? They charge you $5 for it.
Yeah, it's sort of big. It's got to be better. It's not so. And it's interesting how this plays through so many different refrains. You know, the same thing's true of money. Having not enough is bad, and having too much is probably bad. It's interesting, yeah. When I look back over the course of my last few months on a clean diet, I asked my doctor, I said, how come I lost so much weight the first 2 months, and then now I'm losing maybe 2 pounds a month. It's about 2 pounds a month now. She said, oh, you're absorbing everything better now. And she's right. I'm eating cleaner, I'm eating less, I'm absorbing it better, and so I don't need as much.
Oh, how come you're losing less?
I lost 17 pounds in the first, like 6 or 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm losing 10 pounds.
That was with the gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy free.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, one reason is
my back pain is better. I'm a golfer with a swing. All my clothes look better, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, I saw your picture, and you're looking pretty gorgeous, I must tell you.
Thank you.
So, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
I think if you've got reflux disease and you've had it for a significant number of years, you do need to have a doctor involved, at least so much as in checking your throat and your esophagus while you sit there quietly, and then you can, you know, go on and your day is your own. So the esophagus does need to be checked, particularly in people with chronic cough. Chronic cough appears to be a greater risk factor, believe it or not, for esophageal cancer than heartburn.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I know you're at a conference. I know you're preparing to give a talk. I want to thank you so much for taking your time and sharing this time with us and with my audience. We always grow when you come on. We always learn. I changed my practice as a result of the last talk, and I'm getting wonderful results, and I see them with my patients. So thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for questioning.
Before you let me go, I want to thank you. The opportunity to have this discussion in some depth, where there is the, you know, laying out of what has been a thought process or processes that have evolved for me as a healer over the course of my career, especially when I run, you know, counter to the trends that are basically pills and procedures. I appreciate it, and I hope this show is of importance to people out there, and I hope that we can all make a difference, and that grassroots movement gets just a little bit bigger.
Alvin,
thank you for writing the books and putting this information in more people's hands.
My audience very much appreciates this, and I hear it all the time. I feel privileged to be able to look in depth like this at issues and share this with the audience. So thank you again.
It makes it easy for me to get up in the morning, I can tell you that.
17 pounds less easy. Now,
anyway, thank you very much, and take care.
Do you have a website?
I do. Voice Institute of New York, Voice Institute NY, Voice Institute of New York. We pretty much put everything there. There are others, but that's the main deal. People are looking for the book, you know, Dropping Acid and Chronic Cough Enigma, both at Barnes & Noble's and online. And I'm pretty easy to find these.
Thank you so much, and I'm proud you're a New Yorker.
And we'll talk again.
Definitely.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Now you heard it. Are you impressed? Carol, what did you think?
I am totally impressed. I have so much information. Actually, I'm convinced I have this as well. So I have some diet modifications to start making, and soon.
I know. And she talks, you know, she goes into her vulnerability, talks about herself and the need for life change within herself. And she talks about the fact that true doctors, if they really want to affect change in their patients, have to start talking nutrition. If they're not willing to do that, there will be no change, no permanent, no long-term change. They have to start talking nutrition, lifestyle, exercise, diet. What is happening is that the most chronic, prevalent epidemic diseases that we are experiencing in this country all have to do with diet and lifestyle. And if you're not ready or willing to confront that issue as a caregiver, you're not going to make change. The number to call, 212-209-2950. It's 212-209-2950. And it was such a beautiful talk. I was just so impressed by the talk. I'm so impressed by the book. The book is just an outline. It's an outline to a higher level of health. But then hearing her talk about it and why she felt it was why did she feel it's necessary to do this? She's some hoity-toity doctor, Harvard grad, dealing with the richest of the richest, the singers, the stars, the this, the that. And she wants to get the information to you and me? Are we impressed? I'm impressed. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
And we have to leave it right there. Once again, that number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950 is the number to pledge to this radio station so shows like Take Charge of Your Health can continue on providing that information that you expect from WBAI on a day-to-day basis. Once again, that number is 212-209-2950 or go to give to WBAI.org. Give the number to WBAI.org. We're about to go into an announcement or two, and then after that, we'll go into another program. Once again, that number is 212-209-2950. Stay tuned. Once again, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. We're raising some funds to make sure that this experiment known as Community Public Radio continues to go on. It's been happening for 54 years, and with your help, we want to go a little bit longer. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Stay tuned.
What? You are not a BAI buddy yet? Now here's your chance to not only support WBAI, but become a BAI buddy between Wednesday, May 21st and Wednesday, May 28th. And to show our appreciation, you will have the chance to be chosen to receive an Apple iPad, along with receiving the BAI Buddy tote bag and member perks card. Sign up to be a monthly contributor during the Spring Fun Drive BAI Buddy giveaway, Wednesday to Wednesday, May 21st to May 28th, by just calling 212-209-2950 or go online at WBAI.org.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
I want to ask you what part of the country you come from.
I originate from Canada. I guess where that is.
Well, I know where Canada is. I've been there myself.
Well, travel for a slave.
Solomon Northup is an expert player on the violin.
I was born a free man. Live with my family in New York.
Be good for your mother.
Until the day I was deceived.
To Solomon.
Kidnapped. Sold into slavery.
Well, boy, how you feel now?
My name is Solomon Northup. I'm a free man.
And you have no right whatsoever to detain me.
You're no free man. You're nothing but a Georgia runaway.
Went down to the River Jordan.
And that servant
that don't obey his lord
shall be beaten with many stripes.
That's scripture. The condition of your laborers, it's all wrong.
They're my property.
You say that with pride.
I say it as fact.
Speak!
Man does how he pleases with his property.
You come here.
I say come here!
Days ago, I was with my family in my home. Now you tell me all is lost.
If you want to survive, do and say as little as possible.
My soul is rising.
Well, I don't want to survive.
I
want to live.
I thought you knowed something.
I did as instructed. There's something wrong. It's wrong with the instruction.
Master brought you here to work. Any more will earn you 100 lashes.
I know what it's like to be the object of Master's lash. No! In his own time. Good Lord, I'll manage them all.
I will survive. I will not fall into despair. I will keep myself hardy till freedom is opportune.
I was a free man. I'm not a slave.
From the film 12 Years a Slave, it gave us the human face of the torture of slavery. Today, we focus on those who rebelled. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. And the topic that we are going to be discussing is actually very fitting for this day. I just want to share with you a quick quote from Selma James, who is the widow of C.L.R. James, who wrote the influential book on the Haitian Revolution, C.L.R. James. She said that Wilson Harris, who is one of the most influential and respected Caribbean authors who hails from Guyana, said a lot of years ago that one problem was the the slave label hides a human being experiencing that pain. If we want to rid ourselves of the racism that is institutionalized in every pore of our relationships, one important way lies through another look at who the slaves were, who their descendants are, and what they are trying to do even now. Haiti demonstrates what happens to a people when they win and survive. They have never lost the pride of having won the Haitian Revolution and therefore the sense of that they can win again. Now, with the conversation that was opened up with the film still being viewed across the nation and also in Europe, 12 Years a Slave, a true story based on the story of Solomon Northrop, who was kidnapped from the north, from New York State, and taken south and enslaved for 12 years. A lot of people say, well, you know, we rarely see any films or hear any stories of slave revolts. So we've worked very hard to find this material, and it happens to coincide with the fund drive for WBAI. So what we're going to do is we are offering an On to New Orleans pack. And let me tell you what is in that pack. It is the rare, hard-to-find book on the New Orleans, Louisiana's heroic 1811 slave revolt, a suppressed story of the largest armed resistance to slavery in U.S. history. And we have a CD of the actual voices of those who were enslaved. For those of you who pledge at the 150 level and call us at 212-209-2950 throughout this hour, we will send that to you as a thank you gift. We are also offering the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross. It's a DVD. It's a two DVD set, and it was put together by Professor Henry Louis Gates, and it really is the evolution of African American people. It goes back to the slave days through the civil rights period to today, telling the story of a people who survived against unimaginable odds. That pledge level is also at the 150 level. That's 212-209-2950. We also are offering some other thank you gifts as well as an add-on. We're offering Toussaint Louverture, the leader of the Haitian Revolution. It's a book by C.L.R. James, and this book was actually a play that C.L.R. James adapted and Paul Robeson played. It was the first time a black professional actor starred on the British stage in a play written by a black playwright, and the script was lost for many years, and it's now been found. We have it in a book for you. You can call 212-209-2950 to get the pledge level for that. And again, the number to call throughout the hour is 212-209-2950. But I would now like to go to a clip from the African Americans' Many Rivers to Cross. It helps to set the context for what we're going to be discussing for the rest of the hour. And I'll be introducing our guest, Dr. Gerald Horn, who will be joining us shortly.
What made cotton so desirable? A perfect storm. In the 1790s, America's oldest crops like tobacco were depleting farmland and dropping in value. At the same time, the textile industry in Great Britain was exploding, creating enormous international demand for cotton clothing. Eli Whitney's gin merely provided the motor for a global economic machine, and slavery was its fuel.
Everybody was getting a piece of it. All these northern bankers and marketing people, folks who owned the ships that transported the cotton, everybody was getting a piece of the pie.
Cotton utterly transformed the United States, making fertile land from Georgia to Texas extraordinarily valuable. The fact that Native Americans lived on these lands was a temporary inconvenience, solved by a policy of Indian removal. The massive replacement of Native populations with slave plantations. It's a part of our troubled history that can still be seen from the air.
If we were flying over this prior to European settlement, we would have seen large fields of corn and beans, trees and squash. When the first English began moving in here, they began chopping down the trees and expanding the fields available for cotton.
The enormous profitability of cotton undermined the principles of the American Revolution and forever altered black life. The more money the planters made from growing cotton, the more cotton the planters wanted to grow, and that took more slaves. Slaves in the Upper South became incredibly more valuable as commodities because of this demand for them in the Deep South. They were sold off in droves, and that created a second Middle Passage. And in many ways, the second Middle Passage was just as devastating as the first.
Alrighty, and that is a clip from the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross. We are offering it up as one of our thank you gifts today for those of you who call in to support WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. The number to call is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We would appreciate you helping us to keep WBAI on the air. WBAI, so many challenges over the last period, and it is part of the history of New York City. Pacifica Radio, the oldest radio, public radio network in the United States, a long way, way before NPR and PBS and other public media outlets. There was Pacifica, founded by pacifists so many years ago. The number to call is 212-209-2950. And the context there that you heard of with the African Americans, Many Rivers to Cross, and the role that, that cotton played in helping to build capital and capitalism in the United States. But we have an historian, a prestigious historian, waiting in the wings, one of our regulars here on Sojourner Truth. I'd like to welcome Dr. Gerald Horn.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Okay, Dr. Horn holds the Moores Chair of History and African American Studies at the University of Houston. He's published over 30 books, including the upcoming The Counter-Revolution of 1776, Slave Resistance and the Origins of the USA, and the recently published Black Revolutionary William Patterson and the Globalization of the African American Struggle. Dr. Horn's extensive research and writings have addressed issues of racism in the areas of civil rights, labor, politics, war, international relations, as well as in the film industry. Dr. Horn was the former executive director of the National Conference of Black Lawyers. He received his PhD in history from Columbia University right in New York City, and his law degree from the University of California, Berkeley, and his bachelor's degree from Princeton University right across the water from New York City, there in New Jersey. So, Dr. Horn, we're very glad to have you, because in addition to offering the African Americans Many Rivers to Cross DVD to our guests, we are also offering On to New Orleans, Louisiana's Heroic 1811 Slave Revolt. Now, to be honest with everybody, I really had not heard at all about this slave revolt, and we know that it's likely not being taught in the schools. Dr. Horn.
Well, first of all, let me congratulate you for your salute to Chokwe Lumumba, who was a good friend of mine. We worked shoulder to shoulder and the National Conference of Black Lawyers, formerly headquartered in Harlem at 126 West 119th Street between 7th and Lenox. And Chokwe, as you described him correctly, was a warrior. One of the things that strikes me about him was his verbal confrontations frequently with judges, which is almost unheard of in terms of U.S. courtrooms, because you're supposed to stand up when the judge enters the courtroom. Chokwe Lumumba was more prone to curse the judge when the judge entered the courtroom, and he will sorely be missed. Now, with regard to the slave revolt that you mentioned, I think it's important to note that, like many slave revolts that took place in the United States in the period before the U.S. Civil War, this particular revolt has the fingerprints of Haiti and the Haitian Revolution all over it. It took place a few years after the triumph of the Haitian Revolution. The ostensible leader of this revolt was a man who had come to Louisiana directly from the island that is oftentimes referred to as Hispaniola. And so I think it's important that you're offering this premium this afternoon, because it's one of the few books that accurately and adequately addresses one of the most stirring events in the history of North America.
All right, and the number to call again to support WBAI, call and pledge your support for WBAI. We will send you this practically impossible to find book onto New Orleans, but we have also packaged it with a CD of the actual audio, the actual voices of those who were slaves. For those who pledge at the 150 level, we will send you the book onto New Orleans, and we will send you this CD. This is precious history that all of us should have. It should be passed down to our children, to our great grandchildren, and as Native Americans say, for the next seven generations. 212-209-2950. This is Margaret Press, Scott, host of Sojourner Truth on 99.5 FM WBAI in New York, asking you to call and pledge your support at the 150 level. You can get the On to New Orleans, Louisiana's Heroic 1811 Slave Revolt. You could also get the two DVD set of the African Americans' Many Rivers to Cross DVD. Both of those each, the pledge level is 150. 212-209-2950. We have a goal of $3,000 for this hour, and that means that I need 20 of you calling and pledging at the 150 level. That's about $12.50 a month. That is far less than you spend perhaps on that cafe latte from Starbucks or any other of the coffee shops that you may be holding in your hand and enjoying right now. 212-209-2950. Now, this next clip that you're going to hear, we worked so hard to get that for you, and you will actually be hearing the voice of Fountain Hughes. He was born a slave in Charlottesville, Virginia, in the United States, and freed after the American Civil War in 1865. Okay, every time I hear the voice of Fountain, it just gives me chills, because it's like reaching back in time and touching our ancestors and recognizing all of what they have done so that we are here with you today. Let us go now to a clip to hear the voice of Fountain Hughes.
Mother was a slave, sister was a slave, father was a slave. My father belonged to a Burnley. And Burnley died during the wartime because he was afraid he'd have to go to war. But now, in them days, you could hire a substitute to take your place. Well, he couldn't get a substitute to take his place, so he ran away from home, and he took cold. And when he come back, war was over, but he died. Well, I don't know how. I don't know, tell you the truth. When I think of it today, I don't know how I'm living. None of the rest of them, as I know, are living. I'm the oldest one that I know is living. But still, I'm thankful to the Lord. Now, if my master wanted to send me, he never said he couldn't get a horse and ride and walk. You know, walk. You'd be barefooted, cold, Nothing made no difference. He wasn't no more than a dog, some of them, indeed. He wasn't treated as good as he treats dogs now. But still, I don't like talking with him because it makes people feel bad. I could say a whole lot I don't like saying. I won't say a whole lot anymore. I remember when the Yankees come along and took all the good horses and took all the, sort of all the meat and flour and sugar and stuff out in the river and let it go down the river. And they know the people wouldn't have nothing to live on, but they done that. And that's the reason why I don't like talk about people. And if you was cooking anything, eating that for yourself, and if they was hungry, they'd be willing to eat it all up. We didn't get nothing. They'd just come in and drink up all the milk and just do as you please. And time to be passing by all night long, walking, mudding, raining. Oh, they have a cold time. Colored people are free. You ought to be awful thankful. And some of them are sorry they are free now. Some of them now would rather be slaves.
Hmm. Which would you rather be, Uncle Tom?
Me? Which I'd rather be? You know what I'd rather do? If I thought, had an idea, that I'd ever be a slave again, I'd take a gun and just end it all right away. Because you're nothing but a dog. You're not a thing but a dog. Night never comes out. You have nothing to do. Time to cut tobacco. If they want you to cut all night long out in the field, you cut. And if they want you to hang all night long, you hang. Hang tobacco. It didn't matter about your tired being tired. You're afraid to say you're tired.
The number to call is 212-209-2950. That is the voice. That story you just heard was from Fountain Hughes, and he was born a slave. He was a slave. It's quite a different thing to see an actor playing a slave and yet another to hear the voice of an actual slave. We have it for you. We will send it to you as a thank you gift. We have packaged it with the rare, just about impossible to find, book on to New Orleans, a very suppressed story of the largest slave revolt in the United States. And the pledge level, for those of you who call and pledge at the $150 level to support 99.5 FM WBAI, we will send you both the book and the CD of those voices of those who were enslaved. Again, the number to call is 212-209-2950. It is always so very emotional to actually hear the voice of someone who was a slave. Many of us, you know, had in our family people who were slaves. Some of you listening right now may have had families who were part of the abolitionist movement against slavery. And some of you perhaps had families that were somehow themselves profiting from the trade. But please, everyone, call us at 212-209-2950. This makes an amazing gift for the young people of every race to be able to hear Fountain Hughes tell his own story. 212-209-2950. We're premiering this on WBA today, the CD with audio recordings of former slaves package along with On to New Orleans, 212-209-2950. On the line with us is historian Dr. Gerald Horn. And, you know, Dr. Horn, you know, hearing the voice there of Fountain Hughes and knowing also that this slave revolt in New Orleans, over 500 enslaved Africans from 50 different nations speaking at least probably 50 different languages wage war against U.S. troops and territorial militias. Their aim was to take New Orleans as the center of slave-related commerce and freedom.